What is up, guys, and welcome back to the Monday Morning PlayStation Podcast. This is Dylan Lepore, and I am at college now. I am in my dorms, not the freshman dorms, luckily. I got a three-story building, air conditioning, and everybody's roommate's pretty nice. Everybody's pretty awesome. I got very lucky with where I'm staying at, and haven't been to any of my classes yet, and I'll do that tomorrow, so that is going to be pretty fun, but I'm glad I'm still being able to still do this podcast, and I don't have any classes on weekends, but I know I'll be pretty busy when tests and exams come around, but I got a new mic I'm trying out because of the mic on my headphones, what I used to use. When I plugged into this new computer, it would cause some static on the computer, which really sucked. And so now I'm using this the Turtle Beach mic, streaming mic. My dad got me for a graduation gift, which is awesome. And it sounds good. I think it sounds good. I hope it sounds good. Because I don't think you guys want to hear, like, it sounds like a garbage bag in the background, but very silently. But if I put music over it, you guys won't really hear it, unless you're noticing. But the college experience has been good. Everybody's been commenting on the dorm. The dorm looks super nice. If you guys see my Facebook page or follow me on Twitter or Instagram, you guys might have seen my dorm. But everything is awesome, and everything's doing great. And it just being here gives me more solitude in a good way, where I can get work done, and I can make more videos, and I can write more articles, and I can learn new things that I wouldn't learn anywhere else. And this is going to be a great experience, and I can't wait to do it. Yeah, everything's just been awesome, and that is pretty much it. It's just awesome, and I hope you guys can join me through this podcast or video MP3, MP4, what have you, and we can talk and discuss all the happenings in PlayStation and my life, because that's what I try to do with this podcast. It's not all about PlayStation, you know? It's PlayStation podcast, but you can't just, it's hard to talk about one thing for too long, so that's why this podcast is an hour long, because all the news and my life, and I like just talking to you guys and discussing events that are happening. That might be funny, that might not be funny, but who knows? We're trying to keep it light and entertainment on the Monday Morning PlayStation podcast. But in case you guys didn't know, I'm Dylan Lepore, and this is the Monday Morning PlayStation Podcast. Each and every week on Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, a new podcast released on YouTube and other podcasting services. Find the MP4 on YouTube at youtube.com/C/DylanLepore, and find the MP3 on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/Dylan_Lepore. Also, we're on iTunes as well. If you want to throw me a couple bucks, head on over to youtube.streamlabs.com/DylanLepore. It helps me keep this channel running and helps me pay for my SoundCloud subscription, which is necessary to keep this podcast running. So thanks for everybody that is doing that. And continue to do that if you really want to help me. It does help me out a lot because, again, YouTube ads only give me I'm only getting like spare change right now, but it does add up eventually. Just like interest on a bank. You get like, here's a penny a year, you know? But luckily I get more than that. Be quiet, bird. That was Twitter. But let's get into the news, because that is what some of you guys are here for. And some of you guys just like hearing my voice. So, five ways Destiny 2 is reinventing Patrol. We'll get into that. But Gamescom was this last weekend. And there's a lot of stuff coming through that, and the PC beta for Destiny is out now. So if you guys have been playing that, I know a lot of people have been doing LAN parties and stuff with that. It's been cool watching all the news and all the excitement, and they did update the new Destiny 2 app. But let's actually get into the news right here. Five ways Destiny 2 is reinventing Patrol. This is a blog post from PlayStation.com. Maps. There's a map. Accessibility viva your ghost at any time. The new map is your guide to the planet you're on and the worlds beyond. It gives you a geographical overview of the region and can help you guide you to nearby events, quests, and areas of interest. It may seem like a subtle tweet, but it conjunction with all the new activities in each zone dramatically reduces the amount of time between the last activity you did and the next destination for your fire team. In short, it makes it significantly easier to find something fun to do, which is very helpful because guiding in Destiny it used to be a pain with the map. I would have to print out a map and to find the areas. It would work out, but it was just too complicated at the time, and I'm glad they made it easier. They should have had a map a long time ago. The best part, ongoing public events and upcoming public events are displayed right on the map. Tag them as a waypoint, which is awesome, and hop on your Sparrow. You can safely discard your homemade event timer algorithm. Thank God. Public events. Oh, God. I remember using those apps for, quests and stuff to get public events. And there's an app for Crota, but we eventually found out it was only, a minute. He only stands at a place for, a minute long, and then you can move on. Adventures. Adventures are totally new to Destiny 2 and represent some of the benefit content in the European Dead Zone. The Bungie story team described them thusly: if the campaign is a novel, adventures are short stories. Based on the handful that I played, though, the rings true. That rings true. So, adventures, the campaign's a novel, and adventures are short stories, which we'll get into more into the depths of the side characters and other events, because they tried doing that with quests in those cool missions they did, especially the mission of the Vault of Glass that came out for the Sleeper Simulant, I think, and that was a sick mission where you had to collect the three ghosts in that area, I believe. Talking about Praedoth, that was awesome. Adventures are essentially side missions that you can pick up while exploring the world. They contain scripted elements, familiar characters, voiceovers, and story elements that feel comparable to some of the main campaign missions in the first Destiny, but generally don't reach the bombastic levels of Destiny 2's campaign, based on the first mission we played in the beta. Instead of focusing on Destiny 2's main story arc, they tell smaller stories that reveal more about the world you're on and the characters you've met. Speaking of which, Devrin K, Warden of the EDZ. Take it as you will. Devrin K is the main NPC of the European Dead Zone, and he serves as the main guide for many of the adventures you'll embark upon there. Stationed at the top of the church tower with his trusty sniper rifle. That seems like everybody has a sniper rifle. Now, he packs a salty Western European growl that immediately endeared me to his character and made me eager to learn about his past and his relationship to the rest of the game's cast. He also acts as somewhat of a faction boss for the EDZ, collecting EDZ tokens as well as various resources stashed throughout the world in exchange for his faction's reputation points. Collect enough and he'll eventually hand over his own special blend of legendary engrams containing custom weapons and gear that feel right in line with his personal aesthetic of post-apocalyptic leisure. The most important thing about Dervin, I never felt like I needed to talk to him to figure out what to do next. The map would do that for me. I only visited him when it was time to cash in. like the Cryptarch. And they're making everything more seamless now, which is very nice. The Lost Sectors and Regional Chests. While public events and adventures can be trackable waypoints, Destiny 2's map also contains some more elusive activities. Lost Sectors and Regional Chests indicated by small, non-tractable, and oftentimes emmatic icons. Lost Sectors and Regional Chests encourage players to poke around and explore corners they might not have otherwise. Regional Chests are what they sound like, specially identified crates that are hidden out of sight, usually containing EDZ tokens and various loot, and that often required the player to platform and traverse environments most would miss. They're resemblant of the original Destiny's golden chests, but the rewards aren't limited to early game loot. Instead, you'll get rewarded with EDZ tokens and faction bonuses. Lost Sectors were maybe my favorite part of the EDZ. These are hidden labyrinths areas that require players to cave dive and explore complex drainage systems or cave networks before they come across a large group of enemies, and more importantly, a really large loot cache. That cache can only be opened by defeating a named element, elite enemy guarding the area, and retrieving that sector's cache codes. Find the sector, defeat the boss, grab the cache codes, and loot is yours. Dance on. So, when the Iron Lords DLC came out, and you have those like lasered off sections, and you put something in it, and you kill the stuff, and you open the chest, and then you get the giant weapon. That's basically kind of what they were trying to do there. The first Destiny was like a test for all this stuff, because they knew they were not going to do that much with it, so they're just going to add a little to it, and a little loot to it, a little grind, but not that much.
Actually, recording. Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Huh? Want me to dip?
No, you can stay. I'm just going to talk. Public events and a shot at heroic public events. Okay, so public events are obviously not new to Destiny, but in many ways they manage to feel fresh and detective from the many I played through and over in the first game. I personally mentioned how the map displays exactly where and when public events are happening, but now every public event has secret objectives. Finding and completing these unlocks a heroic version of the public events. Complete that and you've got yourself a massive experience boost and a shot at some epic loot. The criteria for these hidden objectives is never messaged to the player. Instead, you'll need to experiment and explore for yourself. I don't want to spoil anything here, but let's just say that Guardians who triumph over the original Destiny's heroic raids may have a few ideas about how to get started. With less than 2 weeks until launch, any doubts about Destiny 2 have been assured. The game will have superb core mechanics with perfectly honed controls and a gun feel that, in my opinion, is top of class. But now that the world feels alive in many ways, the first game only aspires to. If the European Dead Zone is indicative of the rest of the game's zones, Destiny 2 is going to have a whole lot more to do, and I can't wait to dive in. If you have any questions about the time in the Dead Zone, leave a comment at the PlayStation's blog. This is an article from PlayStation's blog's post, so talk to them there because they had the most experience. Next up, we got a COG Connected. The original Xbox One has been discontinued and is no longer available in the Microsoft Store, which is kind of insane that they're finally getting rid. This is a giant light. They're finally getting rid of the Xbox One's original. You can't get the package anymore. The Last of Two will have multiplayer. Article from Nerd Munch. There hasn't been much information on The Last of Us 2 thus far. We have the official announcement during PlayStation Experience 2016 that Naughty Dog is working on the game after that. We know that the game will be focused on Ellie and center around the theme of hate instead of love. It's sure to be a bumpy ride, nothing quite like revenge and hate to get anyone through a zombie apocalypse. And that was my roommate that you saw there. That's gonna happen a lot. Like I said, this is not gonna be a perfect, clean podcast, but I might have to do some edits here and there. So let's get further into The Last of Us 2 multiplayer, which I really liked the first Last of Us multiplayer. You have to be super stealthy, and it was more strategic and slow-paced, which I actually really liked that and how different it was. So keep it up, Naughty Dog, always changing, always doing their own spin on multiplayer, which is really cool. As of today, however, we have one more detail to add. Now, this is not all at all confirmed or officially announced, but the implements are too obvious to ignore. The co-lead designer of The Last of Us 2, Anthony Newman, has tweeted a post listing all of the currently available positions at Naughty Dog. A lot of these positions are to do with designers for multiplayer systems and layout. No game, including The Last of Us 2, is mentioned within the job descriptions. All they do say is the folks lucky enough to be hired will be working on the next multiplayer game for Naughty Dog. The real hint towards The Last of Us 2 is the background photo that Newman chose, which is of Ellie herself sitting on a bed with a guitar in her lap. This is an image that comes from the game's announcement trailer again, a very strong implication that this could be the game these positions are referring to. That said, the original The Last of Us did have multiplayer too. They say it wasn't the highlight of the game, of course it wasn't the highlight of the game, but it was decent enough with death match and capture the flag modes. Perhaps the second time around we'll see Naughty Dog improving on the gameplay there and trying their hand at something more intense. Even though I disagree with that statement, I think the game was I think that multiplayer was super intense, and I got my pulse pacing pretty fast at times because how stealthy you have to be, and anytime you can get shivved in the back. All things considered, it's more than likely The Last of Us 2 will have multiplayer as well, even without these job listings. The Last of Us 2 is in development and exclusive for PS4 and does not yet have a release date or window yet. The story is still ongoing. Now, PlayStation, this is a post from the PlayStation blog. There's a flash sale, deals under $10, coming out tomorrow on the PlayStation store. Well, actually, not tomorrow. Tuesday, technically. Yeah, tomorrow, basically. On the PlayStation store. Save on more than 200 titles, including Darksiders 2, Definitive Edition, Resident Evil 4, and Overcooked Gourmet Edition. When those thumbs need a break, we've got 150 plus movies to choose from as well. Scoop up Kung Skull Island, First Fight, Creed, and more, all for under $10. Well, all except the Rocky Heavyweight Collection. That's $14, but six classics for that price? Had to throw it there. Check out the full lineup on the PlayStation.blog, then head on over to the PlayStation Store through this weekend. Their deals are under $10 flash sale and ends Monday, August 28th. So I was wrong. So you got August 28th, 8 a.m. PST. So as soon as you hear this, go out and do that. It's a little bit late. Next up, we got an article from GameSpot. Microsoft confirms it's talking to Sony about cross-play. Will there ever be cross-play supported between Xbox One and PlayStation 4? If it never happens, it won't be for lack of trying, it seems. Microsoft's marketing manager Aaron Greenberg recently told Games Reactor that Microsoft is absolutely in talks with Sony about potential cross-play support, but Sony apparently won't allow it. "We're talking to Sony about cross-play," he said. "We do partner with them on Minecraft, and of course we would like to enable them to be part of that. One community to unite gamers, so we're talking to them, and we're hopefully that they'll be supportive of it." This is just the latest in a long history of comments from Microsoft about its desire to connect Xbox Live and PlayStation Network. Back at E3, where Microsoft announced cross-play support for Microsoft between Xbox One and Nintendo Switch, Xbox Dave McCarthy confirmed discussions with Sony about crossplay took place, but pressed for more details. He laughed when he saying Sony wasn't ready to support that feature, suggesting talks about not progressing all that way, or all that well. "Quite frankly, we'd love to have Sony there. We discussed it. We said at the time, they're not quite there yet," he laughs, "on support for that. But my hope is that they join the party as well, because I think it's an awesome thing to do for gamers, connecting Xbox and Microsoft's networks." In March 2016, Microsoft publicly announced that it was open to connecting Xbox Live to other gaming networks, including PlayStation's network and Nintendo's own online service. Sony later suggested it was open to this, but it has not happened yet, and it doesn't seem like it will soon. PlayStation exclusive, or it's PlayStation executive, Jim Ryan said one reason why Sony isn't allowing crossplay between PS4 and Xbox One from Microsoft is because the company is considering about the safety of its users. If Sony allowed PSN to connect to an outside network like Xbox Live, Sony would not be able to fully control the experience. This could potentially put its users, in particular children, at risk, Ryan said. Xbox boss Phil Spencer responded to Ryan's comments, saying the dialogue that Ryan engaged in is unhealthy for the industry overall, and took issue with its suggestions that Microsoft doesn't do enough to keep users safe. "I would love for players on the platform to stay connected," Spencer said. "The fact that somebody would make an accusation that someone or somehow we're not keeping Minecraft players safe, I found not only from a Microsoft perspective, but an industry perspective. I don't know why that has to become that dialogue. That doesn't seem healthy for anyone. We can always do better with anything we do. I feel the whole discussion around safety with our game, and that somehow we wouldn't take that as a top priority. And frankly, through our parental controls on Xbox Live and everything else that we've done, shown that that's incredibly important to us as a platform. This is also an ongoing story." That'd be kind of cool to see Xbox and PlayStation connecting as one. I don't know if it's really just a safety thing. I think it's just PlayStation wants to keep their exclusives in lock and in check. What are you doing?
This is on a sink. It's closing.
Oh, okay.
Are you streaming?
No, this is a podcast.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, like, I don't know, but it's like, is someone cooking, like, blueberry muffins? And it's like, I smell blueberry. I walk over here. You're doing this. You're, like, climbing all over the place.
I know what you're smelling.
It was
mom's melon.
It was under the sink. I was like, what is that smell? Like, that's heavy.
Why do you
have it?
Hmm?
What do you have? Oh, it's for my vape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But don't worry, it's the one with no nicotine in it, because I'm not trying to kill myself.
Good.
Good job. I just like the flavor. It's called Mom's Melons.
Awesome. Nicotine-free.
Stay away from drugs, kids.
So this is an article from GameSpot. PSN leak reveals Yakuza 2 is now getting a PS4 remake. Sega's embracing of the Yakuza series continues with a remake of the first game just days away. A PSN listing has revealed that Yakuza 2 will apparently be getting the same treatment. As posted on NeoGAF, Yakuza Kiwa 2 briefly appeared on Taiwan's PlayStation Store. The listing has since been removed, but the translation states that it will run on the engine powering Yakuza 6, the most recent original entry in the series. While the listing was likely not meant to go up, it does seem to be legitimate, given it was accompanied by a logo. While it was live, the page listed a release date of Destiny, a release date of December 7th, 2017. It's entirely possible that was only a placeholder or simply incorrect. That said, although Yakuza Kiwa, a remake of the original Yakuza, is only just releasing this coming Tuesday, August 29th, it's been available in Japan since early 2016. Tuesday's launch of Yakuza Kiwa is the second Yakuza release of the year in the West, following Yakuza 0 in January. Yakuza 6, released in Japan last year, is due out in the West on March 20th, 2018. As noted in your Yakuza Kiwa review, the upcoming game proved to be a great remake, although it did lead some real flaws intact. So more Yakuza games, lots of people are really liking the Yakuza franchise. I'm a little bit confused, I don't know about you guys, on the ordering of all these games, because we got 6, we got 0, we got Kiwa 2, we got Kiwa. I'm just like, where does it end? But again, Sega's really pushing the Yakuza, because more people are really getting into Yakuza now, and that is actually a good thing, because the Yakuza franchise is actually pretty interesting and also pretty funny too. So I definitely check out that. But now that is it for the news for this week, for this Monday morning PlayStation podcast. But let's dive into some of the new releases of the week of the 29th of August, next tomorrow, basically. So we have a couple games I actually want to mention. I'm going to skip a few because you can find the whole listing on the drop at the PlayStation.blog. One of the first games is Absolver on PS4 Digital. Absolver is an online multiplayer combat experience where the players are placed behind the mask of a prospect. Prospects will wander forsaken lands in countering others to learn new combat skills, acquire weapons and armor, and engage in solo duels and intense 3-on-3 battles, which is kind of cool. It's a game you have to sorry for the noise. It's a game you have to look and play first. I'm very interested in it. I don't know about you guys, but I'll definitely give that a watch. And then Everybody's Golf, PS4, digital retail. Everybody's Golf is a new game for PS4. Anybody can play golf with basically only 3 button clicks. Now you can experience golf, the variety of characters, customizations, fishing, and karting across the courses. So that's one, Everybody's Golf. Everybody's been talking about Everybody's Golf, so I'll definitely also check that out. Next game is The Last Day of June, PS4 Digital, out August 31st, actually. Joined Carl in June. So The Last Day of June, double meaning, I guess. On what begins as a magical outing of their favorite spot, and try to unlock the sequences of events that could save the day and June's life. In this cinematic experience that will compile you to ask yourself, what would I do to save the one I love? I don't know. Next up, Life is Strange Before the Storm Episode 1 is coming out. PS4 Digital, out August 31st. If you guys don't know what Life is Strange is, I don't know. What are you doing? Life is Strange Before the Storm features Chloe Price, a 16-year-old rebel who forms an unlikely friendship with Rachel Amber, a beautiful and popular girl designated for success. When Rachel's world is turned or upside down by a family secret, it takes their newfound alliance to give each other the strength to overcome their demons. And The Lost Bear is something I'm also interested in, too. PSVR Digital out August 31st again. A lot of these games are out August 31st. Immerse yourself in the hand-drawn world of The Lost Bear. Help Walnut on her journey home through a mysterious land corrupted by the toy-stealing Snatcher. So that's interesting. The logo really got me hooked on it. But we also have a couple more games I want to mention. Resident Evil Revelations, PS4 and digital retail. You guys know what Resident Evil Revelations is, if you haven't already. Another great game, especially when it came out on the 3DS. It was a great Resident Evil game, so I'm really going to jump on that train of playing it again. And the Yakuza Kiwi, like I talked before, the rumored Yakuza Kiwi 2, and this is Yakuza Kiwi coming out. PS4 digital retail 10 years ago. I'm going to say these names wrong. I probably said the title wrong, too. 10 years ago, Kazuya Kiryu took the fall for a crime he didn't commit to save his best friend. Expelled from his Yakuza family, Kira is released from prison to a city he no longer recognizes. Chaos erupts when 10 billion yen vanishes from the Tojo clan vault, and with Kira caught in the middle, he finds everything points to a young, mysterious girl named Hakura. Together, they must survive to find the answers they both seek. Wow, that's deep. But that is it for the news, the games, everything. I actually wrote down. This was 14 pages this time. This is probably the longest one I've did. 14 pages of stuff to read to you guys. I hope you guys enjoyed the Monday Morning PlayStation podcast. I love doing this. You guys know that. I know that. I'm in college. Welcome. There's going to be some interruptions here and then, but we'll make it through this together. In case you didn't know, I'm Dylan Laporte, and this is the Monday Morning PlayStation Podcast. Each and every week on Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, a new podcast is released on YouTube and other podcasting services. With the MP4 on YouTube at youtube.com/C/DylanLaporte, and find the MP3 on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/Dylan_Laporte. Also, we're on iTunes. If you want to throw me a couple bucks, head on over to youtube.streamlabs.com/Dylan Laporte. It helps me keep this channel running and helps me pay for my SoundCloud subscription, which is necessary to keep this podcast running. So thanks for everyone that is donating. It really helps. Again, I need to keep this YouTube money all together so I can put more into SoundCloud and purchasing items to improve my YouTube experience and your guys' viewing and reading and watching. So thank you guys for everything that you guys do. And this is Dylan Laporte signing off. Bye.